Hello and welcome, beautiful soul, to the I Am the Divine gathering. This is pre-recorded, and I wanted to start off by talking about the energies. And then I want to go into some talking points, what's needed for the upcoming weeks ahead, and how the shifts in the solar system with regard to these influxes of light coming from the sun are going to be felt by us, activating us, and what they are potentially able to create, which is important for us to have an awareness of because in our natural day-to-day experience, if we are practicing being a co-creator with our universe and practicing presence, we will be able to see in a moment what we're creating, where our alignment is, and what we're needing to do in order to shift. And this is going to be really important because, as you know, and as we've spoken about a bazillion times before, we came in with the ego in the driver's seat. And that's how it's always worked because we asked to be here in an unconscious nature so that we could see if we could find a way out of the unconsciousness into a conscious state of expression and navigate the reality from a higher perspective and use our innate magic to create the life experience that we truly desire. But of course, when we're under the shroud of the ego and we have had this very heavy veil, blocking us, we perceive that the outer reality is all there is, and that this life is all there is. And then, after we have lived this life and we depart for the other side, heaven, if you will, or whatever title you want to give it, we are in our finale and there is nothing else. But we all know that that's not true. But that is the nature of the game that we came here to express. And why it's important to have an awareness of that and remind ourselves constantly is because the noise in the outer reality is going to get louder. And what most of us have a hard time doing is wrapping our mind around the idea that the earth is a large movie screen. That's exactly what it is. I've talked about this many, many times. I think I wrote about this back in 2017 or 2016. The Earth is a giant movie screen. The energies coming in from the sun come into our crown, and our third eye, which is offline, which should be operating, would help us see the truth in that illusion if it was operating in its fullness. But it's not. It's been clouded with that shroud of illusion, the veil, if you will. And so we have to look at everything through our physical eyes and interpret what we are seeing through our physical eyes. And the problem with that is that because we were born into this nature of this reality, the third dimension where everything has form and structure, if we're not managing the thoughts that we're having as the ego is creating each moment of our day, we will forget that even though the walls have structure and they're fixed and we can't put our hand through it yet, it's not really a fixed structure. It's wavy. It's particles being held together by our thought process. And the thought process that we have that's governed by the ego is what gives form to everything in our reality because it's how we came in to play the game. And third dimension is a reality on the earth plane that allows us to experience a polarized field. It allows us to experience duality, meaning that if there is something good, we can also perceive that there's something bad and then have that as our experience as well. Okay. And so it's up to us in every moment to manage our thoughts and catch our thinking, especially if it's negative, so that we're not creating in the lower timeline of the third dimension. And so we have to be really clear on that. And this takes us into dream state because dream state is being elevated now too. I'm noticing it for myself, and I'm talking to many people in sessions about their experiences in dream state. And we have to remember that as we transcend the third dimension into the fourth dimension, the illusion in the fourth dimension is that the lower levels of the fourth dimension, because it's multidimensional, it's multi layered, I should say, not multidimensional, but multi-layered, has several layers of lower frequency where we can have nightmares or we can dream about something happening that we don't want to have happen. And it can feel really real. That's how we've always played this game. And so when we use a substance, whether we're using alcohol or drugs or medication or anything else, right? Pot or anything like that. We're taking ourselves into that lower fourth dimension. And I've talked to so many people that think that they're in fifth dimension when they're smoking some pot, that they don't realize that they're not in fifth dimension, that they are in the lower four. And it's important to have an understanding and awareness of that because of where we're creating when we're creating now, because literally the veil is disappearing. It's not even really there anymore. It's just our mind that keeps a wall up, so to speak, because we've always believed there to be the veil intact. But now that it's actually gone, it's hard sometimes for the mind to release the control of keeping the structure, right? Our internal structure, and venturing out into the unknown, which would be the world beyond the veil. So now that these energies are super duper high, we've talked about this so many times. This plasma coming in is very viscous in nature, and we're feeling it in the body, and it feels uncomfortable. And sometimes it can create pressure in the body, especially in the heart area, because these energies are very heart activating, heart opening. And so we might be a loving, kind, wonderful person, and we're feeling for everybody else, but we're not feeling for ourselves. We're not in a state of self-love because we choose everybody else's feelings over our own feelings. Well, in that case, we might feel the heart activating in an intense way because the heart wants us to bring our focus or attention back into ourselves as opposed to continually giving our attention out to the outer reality to everybody else. It wants us to bring back self-love because if we're not centered within ourselves, if we're not focused within ourselves, then our day-to-day reality, our day-to-day experience is going to be predicated on what others are saying, thinking, and doing. And it's very easy to lose focus and control on our day-to-day reality because we have things like social media. And what I have seen, and I'm not on it all that much, but what I have seen is that social media has become so intensified with influencers that it's the ease of which we can fall into another's idea, another's viewpoint, another's perspective, another's suggestion is very easy. So if we're on social media and we're seeing an influencer talking about this or that, and they're very passionate about it, and we're empathic, they may make us feel passionate about what they're talking about, and then we become passionate about it until something shakes us awake and makes us realize that that is not our reality. And everything in our reality plays that game with us. Every single thing in our reality is here to give us that experience, whether we are realizing it or we're not. Okay. Now, I'm not on social media very much. I do, I do session work, so I'm talking to people all the time, and people are somewhat influenced by what's going on out in the outer reality, in the government, in the financial system, in the school systems. And I want to be 1,000% transparent with you. I don't watch any of that. I don't look at any of it. I have a TV here, but it never goes on. It doesn't go on unless Joe is home watching the TV, and I'll watch a little bit with him. But for the most part, I never watch the TV. Okay. I was having some conversations with a friend talking about the Lord of the Rings. Because I'm so into the magic of the fairies, and when I was young, really young, like in my later teens, I played Dungeons and Dragons with my brother, and we battled orcs, and I was a elven magic user named Tamara Cameron, and the I had a an elven fighter named Alexi Redwing, and I was deep in the game. I was deep in the mystical. I was deep in all of that. And my friend said to me, "You've never seen Lord of the Rings?" And I said, "No." And it was kind of like a moment for me where I had to be like, "Oh, well, that's interesting. How come I've never watched the Lord of the Rings?" And so I decided to watch the first movie. And I have to say, there was so much darkness and so much battling and fighting and all of that sort of stuff. It really just detracted for me. And I haven't really gone on past the first three movies because I just can't handle the fighting in my field. I'm not interested in it. It doesn't feel good. It takes me offline for a couple of days until my body physically recovers from, and that level of chaos. And so that's one of the reasons I don't watch the outer reality. But that doesn't mean I don't know what's going on, right? I'm not, I hear a lot of people using the word, oh, spiritual bypassing and everything. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we can call it that if we want to judge, if we want to judge each other for what we're doing and what we're not doing and how we're handling life, right? But if we're watching that outer reality and we're watching the movement. Pay attention to what I'm saying here. If we're watching the movement of the energy as it deconstructs, because as the planets all shift now into new positions, into new signs, and free up the last 14 years, making now a new energy field that we're going to be in for the next 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, 165 years, right? And these are all significant numbers based on the planetary actions. It's not my perspective, it's what is, but we're not getting into astrology here. We have to understand that the only way for energy to move is through something. It's going to move through you. It's going to move through me. It's going to move through the planet. It's going to move through animals. It's going to move through the paradigms that can no longer be supported by it, right? You ever have, something that, Let's say you have like a vase or something like that that you've been using for years. You've been using that vase for 20 years. And all of a sudden, one day, you take it and you go to put flowers in it, and you hear a click and you realize that there's a fracture in the vase. In that moment that you filled it with water and were putting the flowers in, that vase cracked, right? It's because that vase, the infrastructure of it, can't support the flowers anymore, can't support water. It's come to the end of its life and it needs to be exchanged for a new vase. And it's the same thing with the outer reality. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible to understand, but the government does not work anymore. It's actually never worked. Okay. But we've always played the game like it did. All right. But that's the game of 3D, the illusion that we came in to work through here. Okay. The school system does not work anymore. Kids cannot write in cursive. They can't tell time. They don't know where the states are located. They don't know the countries around the world. They don't know anything. I don't know what they're learning, but I've had some conversations that are very interesting with young people, and they don't know. They don't know how to sign their name. I mean, it's very, very interesting what's happened in the school system. And it's not like we've given up on algebra, which, unless you're becoming a rocket scientist, is quite pointless, right? They're still making kids learn algebra, but they don't see a need for a child to learn how to write its own name in cursive. Okay. It doesn't make sense, right? So we could say nothing makes sense. The financial system hasn't worked in a long time. I don't know about you, but money does not earn interest, and the housing rates are going up, and it feels frustrating to most, right? Now, it doesn't feel frustrating to me because I know, trusting in my universe, that at the moment where I'm going to have to move, and I do have a potential move coming this year, probably between March and September. I could go a little longer than September, but this year there's another opportunity for a move for me. But I know that I'm not going to make that move happen if I'm focused on it, because if I'm focused on it, it's giving resistance to it and I'll just push it away. So I need to just sit back and let it happen, let it unfold, let it unfold and present to me with the energies that are playing out. But some of us, not me, but some of us are focused on what is happening in the government, right? What the news says it looks like. Well, I have news for you. The news is a perspective, it's not truth, right? Just like when we talk to people. We all play the game of telephone. We all do it. We hear something and then we regurgitate it in some way and we tell the next person. And by the time it gets to like the 10th person, it's not even the thing that we said anymore, right? So when I look at what's happening out there, I'm happy. I'm excited. It's a reality that's collapsing. It's an energetic field that's collapsing. We can see it as people suffering or as the government gone rogue or however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, if we're thinking about the earth being a projector, holding whatever thoughts we are having, they manifest very quickly now in these energies. I'll give you a few examples of that in a moment. But if the earth is a projector and it's playing a movie back to us, and the movie is showing us this is what's happening now based on the collective consciousness on the earth. The movie is showing, oh, look at that. The view in the viewfinder, right? The slide in the projector has just changed, and now the movie has shifted, and this is what it looks like in the outer reality. Okay. And everybody in the outer reality, who has some kind of pain and suffering, their soul signed up for that pain and suffering. Their soul signed up to experience that so it could grow, or it pays back karma, right? There's always a purpose, there's always a great purpose. But when we are emotional to what's going on in that outer reality, we're losing our focus, we're losing our divinity. In other words, the divine creator within us is suffering. And when the divine creator, which is our soul is suffering, everything else in our life suffers too. Okay. And not just everything in our life suffers, but our loved ones on the other side suffer because when they cross over, they're seeing what's taking place with us in the physical world. And many of them become guides for us. I have to tell you, my mother and father have never been so strong as of lately to make sure that I am staying on my path and I am staying focused where I need to be focused and in alignment. I see their birthdays at least twice a day. Okay. They're always with me. And especially if I'm not tuning into any of the messages that they're giving me. I see their birthdays constantly, or I'll hear my mother's name, which is not a common name. It's Susanna, right? Susanna. Not Susan, Susie, Susanna. I'll hear that name. I'll read a book, and the book has a character called Susanna, right? And I didn't pick out that book because of the character, because I don't even know the characters coming in with the name Susanna. But anyway. It's showing up to keep me on my path. But when we're so emotional, when we're emoting to the outer reality, when we're giving focus to that screen that's out there, that's broadcasting back the collapse of the energies, because that's all it's doing. It's like turning on the TV and seeing a television show where there's a battle, right? Like Lord of the Rings, and it's dark and it's a darkened battle. And what, I have a choice. I can turn the TV off. And so that's what we really should be doing now. We can glean what's taking place, believe me, through social media, right? You'll get the scope of the reality through social media because people have opinions and you'll see what's going on. I had no clue what was going on out there with, I knew about the ICE situation, but I didn't really understand that somebody made a guy take off his American flag shirt that he was wearing. A mob of people attacked him and made him take off the shirt. Otherwise, they were going to beat him up, I think is the story. I heard it on social media when it was the next video after I finished watching an art video or an artist talking about something. And it literally came into my feed the day after we had a massive windstorm here. The weather has been extraordinarily cold, 32 degrees at night and in the 50s during the day, the low 50s, very, very cold here. And so that day, the day before I saw that whole thing on the flag on Instagram, the day before, it was very, very windy here. And we have two. When I got here, Joe had two flags on either side of the entrance to the driveway coming in. And then, they were tattered and torn, and we were talking about needing to replace them and whatnot. So Joe was in the academy, really didn't have a whole lot of time. So I just went and I bought two new flags and I put them up for him because it was meaningful to him. So I just did that as, like, my offering here to the house or whatever. So I changed them out for him. And then about 4 months after I bought the flags, I guess some kids came in the middle of the night and stole the flag from the lower flagpole that was easier to get to. And I don't know what was going on, but I know that there was a lot of tension that had started. I think it was, the talk about the ceasefires overseas or something like that. And the kids, some kids came by and stole the flag, right? We have it on the video from the monitor on the tree outside. So we were like, oh well, whatever. The universe is speaking, and so I guess we're not supposed to have two flags. We're only supposed to have one flag. So be it. I left it. He left it. We didn't care. And so the other day, the wind is kicking up, and the only remaining flag is on a very high flagpole that I could just barely reach. And his friend was coming over to drop something off, and I opened the gate for him, and the gate to the road is a far distance from the house, walking distance. So he drove in to the side of the house, and when I looked out the window, I saw that the other flag was hanging. It had come down in the wind because I saw the wind whipping it around, and the holder on that post only had one screw. And so the screw kind of detached and flipped the flagpole holder downwards. So now the flag was hanging to the ground and touching the ground. So I went out and I took the flag off, wrapped it up, and I put it in the garage because I need Joe to find a screw and put the flagpole holder back in place so that the flag could go back up. And so I didn't think anything of it. I just, was not like I was, ambivalent to it, I guess you could say, like ambivalent. I didn't really care if the flag came down or whatever. But the very next day, which was very interesting to me, I saw what happened with the guy with the flag t-shirt on social media. And believe me, I didn't watch it long. I watched it long enough to hear what happened, and then I didn't stay for the commentary. I just scrolled past it because I'm like, okay, so things are breaking down, now in a way that is going to force unity. It's going to force us to come together and stop hurting each other and beating each other up. It's going to force us because that's what these energies are going to be doing this year. It's going to be expanding unity consciousness, and you'll watch it happen, right? It's going to happen this year as we come into, because this year and next year, this year is really the end of that 3-year process that I talked about years ago. And then next year is going to be the like more of a more cleaning up of this year. But this year is the final, because we're in the final year of solar maximum when the codes are the highest. There's no more filtering. They're coming in direct. So whoever's going is going. Whoever's staying is staying. Whoever's expanding is expanding. And we're either going to choose to have a higher, happier experience in our life, or we're going to choose to melt out with the energies, eventually create some kind of anomaly in the body, get sick, and depart the earth plane. That's how it's going to work. So back to the flag. So the next day after I took the flag in, and I just did it because I didn't want it touching the ground. It was upside down. I couldn't get the holder to straighten out again because it stripped the screw from the top of it. So it like swung down and flipped down to the ground. So when I saw this post about the flag and how people were beating up this guy because they hate the American flag now, and they're like stealing American flags and desiccating, decimating, or whatever the word is, American flags. For a second, I thought, I wonder if anybody thinks I took the flag in because I wasn't supporting the United States anymore. And then my next thought after that was, oh, so I'm worried about judgment of other people. And then my next thought of is, oh, isn't it interesting that my universe, right? That my consciousness, my universe, my creator, my inner being would use a flag to show me where I still had an inkling of judgment and might be concerned with how I would be perceived on the outer reality as to whether or not I was supporting the United States or not, or supporting the flag or not. And I thought, isn't it funny that judgment resides in everything, even in an inanimate object like the flag that was on the pole out there, that had no bearing on me. I've never had a flag outside my house. It's not that I don't honor the flag, it's just I never thought to do that. I've never had anybody in the military, so it was not something my family did, you know? Maybe my father did when, it was Memorial Day or Labor Day or something, I don't know, but having it 24/7. Now, most of the houses where I live down here in this community, they have a flag, or sometimes two or three or four, depending on the size of the property. And they fly the American flag proudly, and that's their job. That's their rite of passage, right? That's what they do. And so I thought about it for a second, and I thought it's very interesting because I could also see how that flag coming down could have another meaning for me. In other words, when I got here, there were two flags out front, everything was copacetic. And now that I feel like the energies are shifting and my reality is shifting, and there's the potential for me to move, that the flags are actually coming down to show me the reality that I was in here, house sitting for Joe, is done. It's coming to an end. And it's showing me that it may be time to move on, right? There's been other signs as well that are showing up, showing me that this timeline is probably coming to an end. And so when I realized I could play this timeline out, in other words, I could play the event of the flag out in one of two ways. I could use it, and I could use it to hold judgment against myself. I could use it to feed the anger and hostility in the energies that are collapsing, right? Not the people, but the energies that are collapsing, because that's really all it is. It's energies collapsing on the big screen of the earth out there. One thing we have to remember, if we're looking at any of that, is that most of us who are real souls, because a majority of those people that are in those scenes, in those scenarios, are non-player characters, which mean that they have no speaking role in our life, and they're not a real soul. They're just a cosmic filler on the level of a hologram or a simulation. And that's really what it is. And I'm going to keep saying that until we all can really feel that and stop feeding fear, anger, frustration, resentment, and anything else, sadness, despair, grief, whatever, to the outer illusion. Because everything on a soul level is dependent on where we are with our process. In other words, even the souls on the other side that have departed here, like my parents, right, are dependent on me figuring myself out because they came in to play a very specific role. What if the people in your life that have departed as an ascended master because they came in to play a very specific role for you? And maybe the way that they left you was in a time of true turmoil, or the way that they left was true turmoil. Like my mom, right? She was my rock. I thought I was going to have her as I was going through my divorce. And then I was going to move in with her to take care of her and keep her going and keep her healed from her leukemia, right? Keep her in a remission. And that didn't happen. My thought of what life was going to look like and the reality of what it was going to look like were two different things because her soul had a plan for her. Might not have been my plan, but it was her plan. It was her soul's plan. Now, every time I look back and I realize something about myself as I'm going through this new process of discovery, because I've been doing a lot of journaling and a lot of inner work, every time I realize something and I'm like, wow, that came from my mom. That was a dialogue I remember having with her. And I took that on as my rite of passage. And that's how I saw relationships, or that's how I saw myself. And then in that moment, I would be like, oh my goodness, mom, I am so sorry I didn't see this sooner and see the game sooner. And I thank you for bringing this clarity and awareness to me, right? Because I don't want to project the anger on her because then it just keeps her stuck on the other side and she can't go off and do what it is that she's supposed to do because our soul doesn't stop. Our soul doesn't stop learning when we're on the other side. Our soul doesn't stop evolving. Our soul gets stuck when we don't evolve. Our soul gets, their soul gets stuck when we don't evolve. Their soul gets stuck when we're unhappy. Their soul gets stuck when we are in a state of despair and we're grieving them or we're grieving our circumstances or something to that effect. So it's really important for us to gain perspective and clarity on what the exchange is. So even something as simple as a flag has great potential to help us move through layers of judgment, which is exactly what happened to me. Now, we're going to have a lot of, a lot of shifting of energies and a lot of potential for calling in things that are wanted and unwanted because the nature of the energies are so extraordinarily high. And we have a full year this year. As solar maximum ends, right? We have a full year of solar everything, a full year of these heightened solar energies, of these heightened states of radiation being emitted from the sun as the coronal mass ejections and coronal holes open on the sun, especially when it's Earth-facing. I mean, we just went through a blast that created auroras all over the United States, right? All over the place. We have to remember that the reason this is happening is because the field that we can't see it, but it's happening, it's out there. The field is filling with plasma, and plasma is changing the nature of the outer reality. It's shifting the nature of the outer reality. The only way I could explain it is, we take a puddle of water, which was our air, and then we drop some dirt into it and we make it a puddle of mud. And so the plasma now becomes the puddle of mud. And then we take even more dirt and drop the dirt into the puddle of mud, and now it becomes thick mud. It becomes mud that sticks to your shoes, and you feel like you can't walk through it because it's thick and it's dense. That's the nature of plasma. That's what's taking place here. The air on the planet is going from a thin, breathable air to a heavier, denser air. We're all feeling it in our lungs. We're all feeling challenged by it, right? Some of us are having a cough because we are transforming our lungs into lungs that can handle more plasma. And it would be like, growing another gill because we have to be able to handle the level of plasma. So the lungs have to recode themselves and the DNA in the lungs have to be recoded. And this is how it works. So we can either tune into our body and see everything falling apart, nothing's working, it feels heavy, it feels dense, it feels this, it feels that, it's harder. Or we could say we're just in a transitional state. We're being rebirthed, we're being reborn into a new reality. The other day, I was sitting at the table, I was painting, and I was wearing a very bright colored, I think it was like a hoodie that I was wearing, very bright colored hoodie. And out of the corner of my eye, I looked down at what I was painting and I could see my left arm out of the left corner of my eye. And I was like, holy cow, my arm is wavering in the energy, right? In other words, it wasn't solid. Out of the corner of my eye, it was almost like that flag waving in the wind. It was pixelating. It was starting to unravel from its solid state. And I started to realize that I was seeing my true nature, which is not solid. None of us is solid. We just think that we're solid, right? It goes back to what I said in the beginning of this talk, which is why we have to see ourselves as the divine. We have to claim in that we are the divine. I am a divine creator. I am creator. I am source energy. I am energy. I am energy. You're energy. We're all energy. And so if we look at the outer reality, right, that outer illusion of the reality out there, because I guarantee you, if you look out the front window of your house, you're not seeing the same reality as when you turn on the TV and you turn on the news, right? We have to actually go to the TV, turn it on, find the news. Now you're searching because your body is used to that low feeling. Your body is used to the victimhood, seeing the victimhood, maybe even feeling the victimhood and feeling like there's no hope. It's hopeless. People suck. The government sucks. All of that sort of stuff, right? Because it's easier to stay in the loop of what we've always known rather than confront ourselves and ask ourselves, why do I want to feel this way? Why am I choosing to turn the TV on and have this experience with the TV when it's not in my reality? I call it into my reality by watching the TV, but if I look out my front window, it's not really in my reality. It's not playing to my reality. But there's something in me that needs to call it into my reality. So I turn on the TV and then, oh, I feel comfort again because my body knows and remembers the victim consciousness that I incarnated in with, because we all did. That's the karmic loop cycle that we incarnated with. My body knows that unconscious patterning, that unconscious programming. My body knows pain and suffering feels like my true nature because it's unconscious. It's not that we want to. If this is starting to resonate with you and you're starting to realize, you're doing it unconsciously. It's not like you're doing it because you're choosing. You're like, I want more pain and suffering. No, you're doing it because on an unconscious, subconscious level, your unconsciousness that's in the back of the bus, your subconsciousness that's in the back of the bus is screaming at your conscious mind to fill the feed with this because those two put together are bigger than the conscious, and the conscious is like, let's see, how can I guess a mechanical bus driver that doesn't know where it's headed, right? Like those driverless cars that they have in California and some other places, right? Those driverless vehicles. They don't know where they're going until you call an Uber and the driverless Uber shows up and then it asks you, where do you want to go? It's the same thing with the subconscious, unconscious mind. The conscious mind is like that driverless Uber, it does not know where it's meant to go. It's told by those louder factions, it's told by the unconscious, subconscious mind what to do in a conscious waking state. And if we're not fully present, this is the tricky part. If we're not fully present, then our consciousness is being driven by the unconscious, subconscious mind. Which is why, when I realized in that moment with the flag and seeing that guy talking about the young man that the mob was literally pulling his shirt off of him, demanding he take it off, or they were going to beat the heck out of him, is what the story was that I saw, right? Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it was there. It gave me an opportunity to look at that and say, okay, where do I hold my own judgment? And Is that really true for me? I mean, the truth of the matter is like nobody really cares. If I project that my neighbors care about whether or not I took the flag down and for what reason, then I'm going to have to play that out because I put that in my field and I feel into that. And then I feel like I've done something that might be judged because then I'm judging myself. And if I'm feeling like I'm being judged, because remember, nobody's judging me, I'm judging myself first. That's how it works. We judge ourselves first, and then somebody else shows up to judge us. I could play that game out, or I could be completely conscious, see the game that I'm playing with myself, and then stop it midstream and be like, nope, I am not playing this game. I am not playing this game. No, I'm not giving any importance to this whatsoever. I took the flag down because the flag fell out of the holder and I did not like what I was seeing because it was upside down and it was blowing in the wind. And regardless of anything, it is a flag and have it touching the floor is disrespectful. So on some level, I'm going to take it in and put it away just because I don't want it falling out the rest of the way and rolling down the street or something, or the potential for somebody else to steal it because after all, it belongs to Joe's house, right? So let me go out there and take the flag in, put it in the garage. And I told him when he came home this weekend, I said, hey, the flag got loose because the wind was really whipping through here. The holder broke. I don't know. What screws you have, where you have screws, but we need to fix the flag and put it back up. It's in the garage right now. And for him, it wasn't a priority. It wasn't that important. He was like, okay, at some point he would do that. What was a priority was that the peacock's nesting bar had fallen, and that was really for me too a priority, getting the nesting bar back up so the peacocks could be comfortable in their coop. So if I was choosing something that I needed to have fixed right away and I only had a choice of one was either putting the flag back up or fixing the nesting bars in the peacock coop, it would be fixing the nesting bars in the peacock coop because the flag doesn't really have a representation. It belongs to the outer reality. It belongs to the illusion. I could be focused on using it in my own judgment of self, or I could just see it as another tool in order to help me clear another layer of judgment for myself, right? And so when I look at that outer reality, I realize I'm not turning on the TV. And even if I did turn on the TV, even if I did, look at what was going on, my soul chose not to be an active participant. In other words, to the reality on the movie screen, to the movie out there, the role I chose is a nonverbal role, right? It's nonverbal. I'm a witness of what's playing out in the movie, but I don't have a speaking part. And I'll be honest with you, none of us should be an activist for what's taking place. None of us, because it's not soul aligned. Anywhere we see activism, it's because, again, that state of activism is allowing us, the true souls that are here to do our work, that are upholding humanity, because those of us that are the true souls that incarnated here for the purpose of this physicalized life game in order to expand and grow the soul's knowledge so that source can know itself through each one of us, we are not here to be an activist. We're just not. It's not our natural state of being on a soul level. And so we have to make a choice and say, am I putting my attention out there into the reality out there? Or am I putting my attention within and manifesting and creating within and bringing in what I truly desire into my reality, right? And what that would look like is, I know you guys heard me talk about that unicorn pendant that I got from the girl in Italy who created it, right? It's absolutely stunning in person. And So I know you heard me tell the story, but I just want to share it one more time because now I did something different and it created this very magical experience. So back in early December, when I first saw it and I reached out to the girl in Italy, she said, "This is going to be in my show," on her Instagram post. And I looked at it and I was like, "Oh my God, that's calling to me. I really need to buy that. I don't know how much it's going to be. I really don't want to spend that kind of money on it. I'm thinking it's going to be a lot because it's from Italy." And yeah, so I was in my head about it a little bit, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to reach out to her and find out, right? Like, what if I can buy it? So I did, and she said, "Unfortunately, I can't sell it to you because it belongs to a show that I'm doing on Facebook. They already know that I'm donating it to the show." So I was like, okay. So I was upset because she wanted to send me a ticket to the show, but I'm not on Facebook. I wasn't creating a page just to go on Facebook. But anyway, fast forward to about 2 weeks back, I get a message from her and she says to me, "Hey," she's, "you know, interesting thing is I had so many people reach out to me, like 100 people reach out to me and tell me that they wanted that pendant right after you did. And came the day of the show, not one of those people showed up to buy the pendant. So I still have that unicorn pendant and it's yours if you want it, if you're still interested. If not, I'm going to put it back on my, I'll put it on my website at its original price and not the discounted rate." So I didn't even ask her how much it was, told her, "Please, I do want the pendant. I feel like it's going to activate some codes for me." Because before seeing that pendant, I was seeing and feeling unicorns. And I felt like I needed to paint a unicorn, but that fullness of that feeling of painting the unicorn has not come to me yet. So I'm not going to rush the project. In the meantime, I'm working on something else, another painting that I'm doing. And so I didn't, you know, I ordered it. I got the unicorn pendant and I was excited. I sent you guys the picture in the email and I was very excited and I've been wearing it every day ever since. And then I said to you in the email, if you want to play the unicorn game, like we played the peacock game and we played the phoenix game and we played the flamingo game, remember all those years back when we played all of those games to create higher consciousness and keep ourselves focused so that we were, you know, coming into higher states of consciousness and not letting ourselves be taken in by the nonsense in the outer reality, which is just a state of collapse. It is energy. It represents energy. It does not even represent reality. Believe me when I tell you, I know it's so hard to hold that understanding or awareness, but it just doesn't. It doesn't. It's an illusion. It's a movie. It's the simulation that we are all in, the holographic reality, right? So the minute I said to all of you in that email, "Let's play the game with the unicorn, the one who has the most unicorns by the next live session will get something. I don't know what. You guys can decide whether, you know, it's you want a session or you want something with a unicorn on it or something. You guys decide. But let's play that game." I had one person send me a unicorn that they found, and I haven't heard from anybody else. So either none of you are reading the emails, none of you want to play the unicorn game, or I don't know. So I'm leaving it out there. The game is still open. If you want to play, send me your unicorns. If you don't want to play, that's fine too. No pressure to do that, but it's another way for us to stay in the higher level frequencies, especially during this time, because it'll help us anchor into these higher vibratory states of consciousness, because we have to do that for the level of these energies that are playing out this year. I mean, we have a very significant solar eclipse on February 17th. However, The total lunar eclipse that comes after that on March 3rd, I've been talking about that. It closes out whatever timeline was activated back in March of back in September of 2024. So think about what got activated for you back in September 2024. For me, it was the end of my friendship with my friend I was living with at the time, as her daughter, myself, had a falling out, and she wanted to move, and I wanted to move. At that same time, there was a extraordinary healing with a client of mine in England, to which they invited me to spend 3 weeks with them, as a thank you to me, which was super magical and fun. And that healing took place back in that time. So all of these things, in whatever way, are coming to a conclusion, right? What does that mean? Well, if, as far as my move here to Florida got activated in September of 2024 after the falling out with my friend because we were sharing a house together. So potentially it means my timeline here at Joe's house in Florida is done in March, and potentially another place to live could be opening up for me, and I could be moving someplace else, right? That's what that means as the timeline closes out. So very significantly. So look back to March to September of 2024 as we get closer to the March 3rd total lunar eclipse and see what that means. We also have a super duper powerful equinox on March 20th. Now, these are life transforming energies. When we have planetary shifts that are going to culminate, that are going to finalize their transition, the outer planets, the big heavy hitters that rule the collective consciousness, that rule everything out there, they're all going to be in a new position by April. And it's going to change the energy across the planet, and it'll start to begin to shift, and you'll notice that it's not going to be in its fullness for a couple of years. So, we're still going to be sifting and sorting through, but you're going to see a lot of collapsing happen. Let it. Don't get emotional to it. Let it happen. And then the personal planets, right? Like Mercury and Venus and Mars, they're also shifting and they're going into new signs. So, some of you out there might be feeling a little bit lost right now. I know I have felt that way in some senses where I feel like I'm just floating down a river, don't really know what direction I'm headed in yet. So when I can't figure something out, I paint. And then when I can and I come online, I didn't have the energy around me for this conversation to take place here for this recording yesterday. As much as I wanted to put this out yesterday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, and get it out early, it just wasn't happening. It wasn't there. The conversation content wasn't there. The energy supporting this conversation were not there. And I couldn't make it happen if I wanted to make it happen. People have been reaching out to me, asking me about, what's going on? I feel this way, I feel that way. Is it the energies? Is it this? Is it that? And I was like, yes, I want to write something and put it out. But to be honest with you, that's not coming either. And I'm like, okay, something is changing here. I'm going through some kind of a transition. And I don't know what that means, but there's some kind of transition that is happening here. And I need to just be in flow with that. So if you're feeling like you're in the middle of the unknown and something is not presenting in its clarity yet, that's okay. It's actually really good because it means that a shift is coming for you, right? And for some, it might feel like you're finally having clarity. Finally, you're having clarity after not having clarity. See, I've had clarity and now I feel like I don't have clarity because we have some big shifts that are taking place. And one of those shifts is tapping my personal identity. It's tapping my identity and it's tapping my home life. And so, in a sense, those two are going to go hand in hand over the next couple of months as I begin this rebirthing, right? Like a phoenix energy, this rebirthing and transformation energy. So, I've been very focused on the unicorn energy for that, on the magic of the unicorn. And I laugh because I've probably seen about, I don't know, 11 or 12 of them. Every day I open my feed to a message. I got a message this morning in Instagram, and I opened my feed to the message. And the first thing that comes into my feed is a painting of a unicorn somebody did, right? So this is the nature of what I'm experiencing, but it's because I'm gatekeeping my thoughts. I'm gatekeeping my thoughts. I'm checking in with myself, which is what we've talked about many times in past recordings and classes. Gatekeeping myself to the degree of looking at what it is I'm creating, looking at how I am interacting with my reality. What am I allowing in, right? What am I not allowing in? And really paying attention to that. And when something pops up, and I'll go back to the flag story. When something pops up like that with the flag falling and me going and taking it out, and then it popping up on my Instagram feed, and I getting a glean into what took place. And then I look at that and I'm like, isn't it interesting that I have nothing else? I don't have another way of working through judgment, right? Because I'm not in a relationship technically. Joe is not here all the time. And in other facets, like I just catch myself all the time. So isn't it interesting that the universe would conspire to use the flag as an opportunity for me to go back into judgment and heal yet another layer, like peeling off another layer of the onion, judging ourselves, right? As not enough, not good enough, not this enough, not that enough. We'll do it with everything. And again, that's why we're talking so much about the soul and soul alignment and even the departed loved ones in our lives, because soul contracts are at play in everything we do. In every moment of everything that we do, soul contracts are at play. It's just how it works. There's nothing we need to do in order to shift it or make it different in some other way because it will come up and we will get to see it. And we need to honor it. Right? This energy right now is not easy. It's not easy energy, right? It's like cutting like a knife, right? It severs things very quickly. People, places, and things in our life that we are no longer in alignment with, they get cut out. It gets cut out. And we have to see this. We have to understand. It's part of what the soul is here for in this lesson, right? If somebody leaves us and it's very quick and spontaneous, whether it's in physical, they actually leave us, right? They break up with us, we go through a divorce, whatever, friendship ends, whatever, or a loved one departs, it's because the soul meant to do it like that. This is scripted. Everything that we experience is pretty much scripted. Some of it has free will. But much of it doesn't have free will, right? So we have to remember that if suddenly something ends, if there is a shift and you have no warning to it, if you lose something, if something leaves you, it's because something new is coming in its place. We are heading into Aquarius. We're heading into the age of Aquarius right now. And we've been in this place of, looking at the outer reality, but we have to bring that dynamic now back within us. The old, on a collective level, as the collective consciousness shifts out of the sign of Capricorn, it is done there and it goes into Aquarius and brings in the golden age of Aquarius. The old loses its hold and something new is emerging in its place, which is why if we get mad at what's taking place in the outer reality, or even if we get mad at what's taking place in our lives, we're doing ourselves a disservice because it just simply saying something new is about to unfold. Something new is about to happen. And we're in a time of fated happenings. Destiny. This is destiny. This is fate happening, right? We have fated, destined happenings taking place right now. Soul destiny. We have karma releasing. I know I could speak by myself in my chart. It shows that I am ending any and all karma that I came in with. It will be cleared by March 2027 as I complete karma and I am done because my life here on this earth in this lifetime has been totally about healing karma. So I am done with that game and I will be free to live and express myself through my new intentions. But right now, I'm still playing the karma game and I still have to see where I have to make the choices that align to me, right? We have to remember we can't solve a crisis. We can't solve it because most of the time when, no, let me reframe that. Every time we have a problem and we're trying to solve it, we're trying to solve it from the middle of the problem. And we can't solve a problem if we're in the problem. We can only transcend it. So we have to remove ourselves from the problem, from the turmoil the problem is creating for us, in order for us to see a new potential for a new experience. The old doesn't work anymore. We have to look at life in a new way. We have to look at the world in a new way. We have to stop clinging to the old. We have to stop clinging to the old emotions, ideas, beliefs, patterns, habits. It's not even working in the spiritual world anymore. It's not even working in the spiritual community. Okay? It's just not. And we're going to see everything restructure and reframe. We're going to see social media shift. It has to. It's not sustainable anymore in this energy. So we're going to see that shifting, right? So, everything is going to start to decompress, is going to start to collapse, right? And it might feel like sudden endings. We might feel like we've lost our identity in some way. We could feel burned out from the energies, and that burnout creates a mild illness, asking us to step back and take a break, sit down, stop what we're doing and just be, right? It might be where we no longer feel a particular role that we're playing in our life is supporting anymore. I know I've had these thoughts for myself. Especially with regard to the community and the end of this year, and what, if anything, I'll be doing next year. It's very possible that there won't be a next year because we've done all the work. We've done it all, Right? Even when you don't like to hear it, we're coming from the highest perspective. Even when we don't love the feel of it, we're coming from the highest perspective. When it triggers the shit out of us, we're coming from the highest perspective. And we have to be okay with that because it means that something is collapsing. When we get triggered, it's because suddenly that old belief, that old pattern, habit, behavior goes, oh my God, that feels so uncomfortable hearing that. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? There's a trigger mechanism. And then the best way to handle that is to get still, pause, don't do anything, take a breath, sit, and then say, how is this feeling for me? Right? Like when I had the awareness that the flag might mean this for the outer reality, when I was just taking it in because it fell. It didn't have any meaning to me. I was taking it in because it fell. But then I had this awareness that, like, maybe for the people that are surrounding me, they're thinking I'm taking it in because I'm not in favor of the government, or I'm not in favor of what's going on, or I'm standing with this side or that side. What? And it was none of that. But I had to sit for a moment, take a pause, and say, oh, that's definitely not a timeline I want to play in, so I'm not going to create it. I just took the flag in because I took the flag in because I didn't want it falling on the ground. That's all. And for any of our military people, or law enforcement, or first responders, firefighters, rescue, whatever, game wardens, all of that sort of stuff, I took the flag in. That's all. I didn't want it laying on the ground. It's just, simple as that. So there is a course correction coming for us, and it's on a personal level as well as a collective level. We need to be okay with it. We're going to see things evolving pretty quickly. Okay. We have Uranus, I've talked about this, going into Gemini. Gemini is communication. It's gonna do this in, I think, May. I thought I had said April, but I think it builds. So I think it happens in April, and then it builds to its anchor point, or they call it exactness, in May of 2026. But this is where we're gonna have, very fast-paced, electrically stimulating thoughts, which lead to actions and communication shifts. And maybe we'll see an acceleration in AI and consciousness on the planet. Now, AI will get to a place maybe where it will become a little bit more scary until it gets back down. But that's, again, nothing for us to fear. It just means it's got to go through its evolution until it comes to its resting place, where now it's a functional aspect in our day-to-day reality, right? And life-changing occurrences, right, that are going to change the direction of our path. But just like I explained earlier with me, it's not to get upset or, emotional over. It's just like, wow, something is changing. I don't know what it means. I don't know what that means. It's exciting. It's exciting to think. And is it scary? No, it's really not scary. I think when the community comes to an end or whatever, it'll be because everybody has moved off and realizes that they're so rooted in the highest of the highs for themselves that they have become their own sacred teacher, that they have become their own sacred guru. And we'll find that there is no more following a guru on any social media platform. There's no more. And so at that point, everything ends because we're learning how to be a self-sufficient guru in our own lives, right? One of the things that's going to be important to us is to stop looking to solve the problems outside of our own lives. If a problem is on the television and it's not facing you in your life in every single moment, right in your home, in your reality, don't look to solve it. You have no responsibility towards it whatsoever, right? No responsibility. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun this next year to see where we're going to be headed. The nervous system is going to shift. It's going to change, right? You might notice that you're having fewer emotional reactions, right? Sometimes I can be seen as being, non-compassionate, right? But it just means that I don't react emotionally. I don't have an emotional reaction because I've healed a lot of that. I've cleared a lot of that. So we might notice that we have less emotional reactions, more internal decision making as opposed to external, right? Maybe removing ourselves from causes that we were involved in that now we realize we don't really need to be involved in that cause anymore, right? And having clarity and perspective and objectivity and a new way of seeing the future, as opposed to staying in survival and feeling pressure and, everything feeling overwhelming and grave. But now we're turning to this higher level nervous system, which is what these energies are working on for us, right? The energy coming in can be very neutral feeling. It can be very spacious. It could feel peaceful. It could feel, non-sentimental. I mean, I know I don't really have an attachment to my past anymore, right? But there was a time in my life being an Aries moon, I was very fiery and emotional. I'd literally look at a horse and start sobbing because I loved horses so much and I wanted one and couldn't have one. Okay? And now I look at them and I admire them and I love them. And I'm thinking every night as I write my gratitude journal, I sit down with that and I write about my new house and my horses and my cat Bella and this new reality that I want to call in. This is how we do it. We get clear. We get really clear. But if we're still playing in the emotional turmoil, we can't get clear about anything. We're not going to see anything. We're going to just sit in emotional turmoil. We're going to sit in the chaos, and it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. So we get to decide how we want to play this next year out. How do you want to play it out? How would you like to play it out? If you want to drop me a line and let me know, I'd love to hear from you. And also, do you guys want to do any journaling work? Do you want to learn my process for journaling? Do you want to do that in part of our next live class so that you can really take focus and control back and start building your best reality? After all, I am living on my heart's desire. I'm going to see if I could find my journal with my pages where I wrote about my 5-acre farm with my chickens and all of that sort of stuff and show you. Because I called it all in. This home that I'm living in is my journaled reality. It's from my gratitude journaling. So if you want a concrete way to stay focused on where you need to be focused, let me know. We'll do some journaling exercises and I can help you with staying on point for what it is that you are needing. All right. So I think that we're gonna leave it here. And I will get the schedule ready for the next gatherings for February. This is the last gathering for January. I can't believe January is coming to an end already. But excitingly enough, we are entering Fire Horse energy. So that is something to look forward to. And having a process to maybe streamline our thoughts or focus ourselves to a greater degree would be helpful. So you let me know what you need, and then I will put a process together for us so that we can stay on point with all that we need to do. Okay? Know that I love you so, so very much. I wish you a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing, and I look forward to seeing you in February. Love you. Bye-bye.